Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Forms and Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha, everybody. This is Professor Gary Lee, and I want to welcome you to Parts Unknown, our live radio talk show, where we interview the movers and the shakers of our industry. Now, the reason why I'm even on the air for the past 9 years in the homes of your homes every Tuesday night, and now we're around the world, is because of one man, and he has a vision. And I like to introduce him right now. He's my producer, Hanti Jesse Bowen. Jesse, are you there, sir?
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
Well, it couldn't get any better. I just got a call from Toki Hill, one of the guys who was instrumental in bringing the Olympics to the world. And him and Arlene and Herb Perez, the two gold medalists, are coming in October. So I'm a happy camper. I'm excited. But anyway, I want people to know who you are, what you do. And you do a lot, not just the books, but you've got a podcast and you've got some exciting things happening. So share with our listeners what you're doing the next a few months from Bill Wallace, for instance. I mean, just share with people, please.
Well, yes, sir. You know, we're really, really trying to really focus on our nonprofit that we can really do some good things in the world. You know, we did the Christian program back here this past month, and we're looking to have, you know, funding for Christian martial arts schools. You know, we're really our educational school, part of our institute. We're working on building that. You know, we just celebrate Women's History Month through our magazine, which we honored 12 women, including Lynn Denley, in a service on Saturday, on a program on Saturday. You know, the Bill Wallace book is coming up. We have now about 25 martial artists, pretty much, that we're publishing their books, and we have one book release coming out in July and August. Then we have another one coming out. We're producing a book for Dennis Brown. It's going to be a book on Chinese martial arts, the biography book for Chinese martial artists, and considering the first Women's Hall of Fame to be at Dennis Brown. And then January, Alan Goldberg, we're going to be putting on another book for him, and we're also going to be launching the first author expo. Will be a part of the Action Hall of Honors in 2023. So, you know, we've been having a lot of really great success, a lot of great people. On our show, we're going to be actually Latin America, AMA Latin America will be starting in the next month, where it will be a Latin American Brazil channel or as a part of our network.
Cool. Well, that's exciting. And I'm so proud to be a part of the AMAA Alliance. And, you know, you released our book last year, and it was a big success. But one thing I want to mention is that individually, people can order sport karate rings. I want you to talk about it a little bit. Also, we operate in gold now, too. But I'll let you explain. Tell me about the ring a little bit.
Well, you know, we have actually come up with a sort of an upgrade ring. This is, each ring is actually customized. Where our rings that we had at the event were more, everybody had the generic ring, but now we are starting to customize the ring. You can get it in white gold. You can actually, you know, 14 karat gold, whatever you want it in, we can actually design it and actually custom design the ring with your name on the inside. You have the option of having the year you started in the martial arts on one side, or however you want to do.
Wow.
So each ring is individually customized for that particular individual. So, yeah, you can go to our website, and now our store, the store for the museum, especially for the rings and the books, go to who'swhointhemartialarts.com, and then we have a special section there just for the Sport Karate Museum. So, yeah, so we're really working on really, you know, really trying to provide some that historical information with the books, with the rings, people that were in the book, their certificate framed with a book cover. Everything is customized, you know, for that. So, yeah, we do have a lot of really great things for, you know, keepsake for our people that were inducted into the book.
Well, you are definitely a workaholic. I want to say thank you from all the history generals and everybody that has come on board to support what we're doing. And thank you. Thank you, Jesse Bowen. Thank you so much. Now, ladies and gentlemen,
well, we appreciate you.
Jesse Bowen, who produces our show. And Parts Unknown has been on for 9 years. And, you know, it's been an amazing trip. But, you know, I get to interview not only the movers and shakers, but sometimes personal friends. And this man is one. But before I introduce my special guest tonight, I got to bring on the two co-hosts that put up with me every week. And I'm talking about the one and only NASCAR world champion, Dean Pyle. Dean, are you there, buddy?
Yes, right here, sir.
Well, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
Hey, Dean.
Just training some troops. Hey, AJ, how you doing, bro?
Good, buddy.
Well, he's always pushy, Dean. I got to wait a minute to introduce him. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the other co-host, the other gentleman that puts up with me every week, one of my dear friends, and again, I don't see the word master or grandmaster very often, but I do say this with this man. He's a master of Peng Su Do Karate martial arts. He's in Cleveland, Ohio. He's a Black Belt Hall of Fame inductee and recipient. He is an amazing instructor, and I'll give you a little insight. This year in October, I got him walking on glass, breaking boards, and doing spin wheel kicks. I'm talking about Mr. A.J. Perry. How you doing, A.J.?
Good, Professor. Thanks for the nice introduction.
Well, I'm going to put poison on the glass, so you got to step on glass, break boards, and do your spin kicks on poison glass this October, okay?
Looking forward to the event.
I'm kidding. I love you, AJ. You're a great performer. Now, we've got a special guest tonight who I'm really excited about talking to because we've been friends for a long time. He's a history general, but he's responsible for one of the first working models to help karate schools be successful. And I had the pleasure of years ago to go with him to a few of the schools and see how he presented it. Now he's retired. Now he's no longer doing that. But he had schools in the Dallas area. He's an Arkansas boy. And he's got an amazing wife. He's got an incredible young man who tore up the circuit back in the day. I'm talking about the one, the legendary Buddy Hudson. Buddy, you there, buddy?
Yes, sir, my friend. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm excited to talk to you. The first thing I want to say is, D.E. Chambers, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I got to tell the story before I let Buddy talk. We're in Houston, Texas, and Buddy's never experienced an AOK tournament before. It was D.E. Chambers' tournament, the Christmas and May tournament. And I taught Buddy into fighting, but Buddy said he didn't have any equipment. So I went to Linda Denley, the great Linda Denley, and between Linda and D.E. Chambers, Buddy fought in that tournament and destroyed people. It was amazing to watch you fight. Buddy, what did you place? You placed second or first?
I think I placed first or second back then. Gary, you were very instrumental in motivating me with your, teasing me about to never letting anybody see me jump in the ring. So you kind of put me on
the
spot. You know?
I'm proud I got to introduce you to AOK,
yeah,
and these
whatever whatever bruises I got took home that day was on you, man.
Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Buddy Hudson is an amazing man. I'm going to tell you, tell the audience when you started, who you start with, and how long you've been a black belt.
Thank you for asking, and thank you for having me on. It's certainly a pleasure. You know, this year was my 40th year of actually teaching professionally and running schools. And I started training when I was about 13 years old, and that was about 6 or 7 years ago. And I just I never quit. I was going to college when I went to school. I was going to be a biology teacher and a basketball coach. And I started teaching martial arts, you know, I was already a black belt instructor to kind of get myself through college. And got myself through college, but never coached a basketball game or taught a biology class. I've taught karate ever since. So I've been doing it a long time, like all of these legends on here tonight. It's such a pleasure to be with you guys. I have been the karate industry has certainly blessed me and been good to me. And I competed probably the first half, the first 20, 25 years of my martial arts career. I like you guys, I competed all over the country and had the pleasure of fighting a lot of guys. And then you know, God gave me the ability to really understand the business side of martial arts and how to kind of excel the business side. And so I kind of took off in that direction and started developing things. And again, just been really blessed from the industry.
Well, you're an amazing man. Now, you know, I got to say, first of all, hello, Pam, if you're listening. And, of course, your incredible son who I watch fight at the Battle of Atlanta. Now, these are two incredible people I know that support you. But tell me, you didn't tell me, when did you make black belt, young man? What year?
You know what? I made black belt in, I guess it was about 77. I was about 15, 16 years old. And I studied in a system called Tahoe Karate in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And interesting enough, I started training when I was 13. And back then, they, as most of you know, kids wasn't allowed to train in martial arts very much. And my sister was training, and she would come out and pick me up. I lived out in the country, and she'd pick me up a couple times a week and take me to class. And she talked our instructor, Sensei Bo Hardy, back at that time, to take me in the class. And he took me in the class, and so I spent the first 5 years training in the system of Tahoe Karate. And then migrated over to Taekwondo and did that for many, many years, and got into a little bit of kickboxing like most of the guys on here, and had the pleasure of fighting Billy Blanks back in the day when he was really hot on the circuit, and we became really good friends. And so I started training when I was a teenager. And
you know, Billy that axe kick that he does, and I remember. It was in Fort Worth Pro-Am, and I really trained for it. I thought that he would never, never, never get past my defense to hit me with that axe kick. And it's about a minute into our fight, he knocked me out cold. I mean, that axe kick was hell.
You know, Billy's such a nice guy. He and I became
good
friends.
He's a sweet guy, yeah.
And, yeah, we were fighting, I believe we were fighting on the Bud.
Yeah, and he's a northerner, Gary.
You what, AJ?
He's a northerner.
Oh, yeah, he's from Pennsylvania. I remember.
He's a Yankee.
I won't pick on you, AJ, tonight. I promise. I won't pick.
Well,
on
an interesting, interesting story about that particular fight back today, and I get a lot of people that watches that on they'll Google me on Google and they'll see Billy, you know, just knock me out with that. It's called the cartwheel kick. And, little story on that. I was doing team fighting, international team fighting, and my instructor got a call and said, hey, you know, Dink Hudson fight Blanks up in St. Louis. And, of course, you know, he volunteered me. And, you know, the rest of the team, when we was training, they said, now, don't let Blanks hit you with that cartwheel kick. He, you know, he's good. He's good. And, of course, you know, all of us would probably react the same. Well, he's not going to hit me with it. He's not fast enough. He telegraphs his kick. He does, you know, I had watched him throw it before. And I had all the excuses of why he wasn't going to hit me with it. And
well, you know, besides,
you know,
besides us being knocked out by Billy Blanks, one thing that we have deeply in common is we love the history. Now, you're a history general, and I'm very lucky to know that you actually got on the back of the book last year of the History Journal book that we introduced. Now, you've been involved with me for a long time. I want to get your opinion of sport karate, of the Sport Karate Museum, and what we've done with that. Because you've been with me a long time, buddy, and I know you know the vision that I'm looking for, but to honor the pioneers, and you were very close to J. Pat Burleson, and if you, I want to say this, back in the day, there was a group called the Masters Hall of Fame, and you, J. Pat Burleson, and Jamie Cash were the very first people that I inducted or helped induct into the Masters Hall of Fame. But tell me, buddy, how do you feel about the Sport Karate Museum?
Well, you know, I do go back many years with you and many years with Grandmaster Burleson. And you know, I really am proud of being involved, you know, as one of the history generals, being involved really in any way with the Sport Karate Museum. What you're doing and what the museum is doing is really keeping martial arts alive and really keeping the, you know, the people that have paved the way before us, you know, just keeping those people recognized and just, you know, the history is so important to keeping that thing, those things moving forward. So I'm really proud, you know, of the Sport Karate Museum and what it's done. And Gary, I tell you, I don't know that there's a better person to keep this thing, keep this train going and keep it, you know, keep the history alive. So I really appreciate what you've done and what the museum continues to do with our history.
Well, you know, buddy, I'll share this with you and my listeners is that, you know, I fought for 45 years and that was my rep. But now I'm a historian. My job is to keep you guys, all you guys, in the light of what people realize what sport karate is. With that said, please, buddy, don't go nowhere. We're going to have a couple segments, and I'm going to bring you back, and we're going to play the Legend's Name Game. This is where I hit you with a name, and you got to talk about it for 2 minutes like a fight, and then I'll try to hit you with as many names as I can, and that's how we'll close up the show. So don't go nowhere, buddy, okay?
You got it, bud.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to the incredible Buddy Hudson from Arkansas and a very, very big instrument in the sport karate, but also in the museum. But, you know, we do some segments here on the show that's really fun. And it really, really is fun to be motivated by knowing I put together 6 incredible people and I get to introduce them one by one. And, of course, ladies go first. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I could have chose any lady that I've dealt with for the past 50, 60 years, but I chose one. And this lady is a PKL champion. She trained in Shoryu Karate traditionally, and she now does Kung Fu. And I'm talking about my dear friend, Karen Slatcher. Karen, are you there?
I sure am, Gary. How are you?
Well, happy International Women's Day, Karen. God bless you. Happy day.
I hope you had a great day.
Well, you know, you're very special, but the question tonight is very simple. How do you feel about coaching, you know, from the side or watching people coach, scream at the referees or badgering the competitors or whatever, you know? How do you feel about that?
Well, I look at it from both sides. Having had a daughter that was a top competitor, it's really hard to behave yourself on the sidelines, you know. It's really difficult to keep from hollering and coaching from the side, but there's a limit. There has to be a parameter set that it doesn't get out of hand. And I say that because I always used to work the entire tournament. When I went for the day, I worked every minute I wasn't competing. And by the time you got to the black belt fighting division, especially the men, but the women too, it seemed like all bets were off on the rules. And if you're judging, even corner judging, and it gets out of hand with the coaches screaming at each other and hyping up the competitors, then they run into the judges, they run in out of the ring, they fall down, they get amped up by it. and it gets dangerous to us judges. I mean, it sounds silly, but then you get they get the crowd involved, and the things that have been said to me, I can't believe people I know and love have said the worst things to judges when they get in these crowd situations. I don't think it's entirely safe when it gets out of hand like that, but also I understand it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to coach. It's a lot of fun to do it, but when it gets violent, and it does, then I think center ref has to be strong enough
to win and lay down the law. It's a big responsibility for not only to represent in competition, but if we're asked to judge another competitor, the responsibility of that. But thank you so much for your opinion. That's a great Karen Slatter. And moving right along, I'm very proud of this man. I mean, I've known him since he was an orange belt. And, you know, I'm going to just say bluntly, he's won 5 or more Golden Greek awards, which is the MVP of Texas. It took me 17 years to win just one, but he's won over 5, but I'm so proud of him. But he's also the president of the AOK, the Amateur Organization of Karate, the largest sport karate organization in Texas. And I'm talking about Mr. D.E. Chambers. David, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
How you doing, buddy?
Fantastic.
Well, how do you feel about, you know, the coaching from the sides, and, you know, you see people scream at the refs or badgering the opponents? How do you feel about that, D?
I feel that is strictly on the producer and then the head referee. I hold it strictly responsible for that based on I have a tournament called the Houston International. It's May 14th of this year. I hope everybody come out to it. But if you come out to it and you see something about to occur, you fix it. But if you're a judge and you don't see it and you don't do anything about it, then it's your response. You know, it falls on you. Meaning you
right
now, when I give the rules meeting, I tell everyone, if a person becomes disrespectful, disqualify them. A person intentionally trying to do something wrong, disqualify. Don't wait till after they do it. Sometimes, you know, we get caught up in the hype, and I understand the hype is good. But again, if you got other kids there, you got, you know, you're supposed to be representing the martial art, and you know, you don't have to tolerate. You don't have to tolerate it. If some reason,
right.
I want you to holler loud, scream loud, turn flips. But the moment you become disrespectful to a judge or a competitor, you escort them out of there. And that is
what I love about you, D. I know you've calmed me down a little bit. You're one of the, I say, the great negotiators to maybe to listen to both sides and say, look, Gary, you need to calm down.
And that normally works. That normally works if you get it there early. But if you let it get hyped up too much, then you lose control.
Yeah.
So you got to step up early and control it. And I believe that's down to the producer and the head judge. That solves that.
You're right. Well, listen, moving right along, I've got another great man. I mean, this is an amazing man. He is golly bum. He co-founded the Black Karate Federation. He worked for Blotlow Magazine. He's a PhD. He's a Marine. I mean, this guy is an amazing, amazing man, a great coach. He trained with the great Joe Louis as a protege. In fact, in Las Vegas, he gave me Joe Louis's black belt. I'm talking about the one, the only, the president of the Black Karate Federation, Mr. Jerry Smith. Jerry, you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, good evening, sir. Good evening. I said, good evening, Uncle Jerry.
Oh, good good evening, my brother. Good evening. I'm sorry.
I hear you.
I could,
well,
I didn't,
listen,
I didn't
what
understand
you,
what you said.
How do you feel about, you know, the coaching from the sidelines and the screaming that you watch a ref do or badgering the opponents? How does Jerry Smith feel about that?
Well, let me say this. I've been on both sides. I was definitely a competitive fighter. And I also was a coach. And what I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of it all. What I learned to do is this. Instead of screaming and yelling and walking in the ring and, you know, being very dishonorable, you go to the head referee or whoever's running the rings, and you can do this behind the because when you come from a big school and you have four referees, sometimes referees from other parts, people that you've never seen before, and they're refereeing and they can't agree on anything, and it's just horrible. And if you have students from a series of your schools that are competing, you want to make sure that they are competing and they're getting judged correctly. So what I would do is I would go, behind the scenes, call the head referee off to the side, no one ever knows, and say, look, you see referee number three there? He is a very bad referee. He's cheating. And he's not calling the points correctly. I would like to have him removed. You know, I brought 40 or 50 people here to compete, and I want to make sure that they get an equal chance. And they will go up. No one ever knows what, you know, it's not like you do this in front of someone. He'll go up and just has to be, you know, have the guy replaced with a referee that's fair. Now, I'll tell you something else. I've actually had referees from my own schools removed because they were just not good. They weren't good referees. Not that they weren't. They just shouldn't have been there, and I've asked to have them removed. So that is the way that I do it.
Well, that's a really good point. And, you know, coming from a highly professional, seasoned competitor and a referee and a coach, you know, and someone who's been in the business for over 50 years, that's incredible, Uncle Jerry. And I want to thank you. And moving right along, I've got a protege of Jerry Smith, and he's trained with a lot of incredible people. He is also a 10th degree black belt, and he also is the web designer of the new Sport Karate Museum history page. I'm talking about Professor Tom Spellman. Tom, are you there, sir?
I certainly am, Gary.
Well, I'm interested to hear your intake on how do you feel about the coaching from the sides and the, you know, sometimes the screaming at the refs and the badgering of the opponents?
Well, Karen was talking earlier, and it reminded me back in 1975 at the WUKO World Karate Championships that were held in Long Beach, California, my hometown. Dominique Valera from France was their top competitor, and he was fighting, trying to get the one title he never got, which was the world champion at this tournament. And he ended up being disqualified from the match, and his chances of getting that was lost. And he ended up turning on the referees and attacked the head referee Stanhope, and then he went after the corner judge as well, right there at the tournament on the world stage. And I remember riding up in the elevator with Valera and a couple other guys and Bill Wallace, who was trying to quiet him down, and he was breathing fire and all kinds of stuff. And he was actually kicked out of WUKO for his lifetime. So,
wow.
You know, yeah, being a judge, being even on a big stage like that and everything else is nothing to protect him from – you know, things going wrong in the ring. And back in the 60s, you know, oftentimes we didn't have enough black belts, especially seasoned black belts, to go around to cover all the judges. So, you know, we couldn't always shift guys out of the ring that they were in when they outnumbered, a competitive dojo against somebody who was fighting, because we just didn't have the people, the manpower back in those early days.
Right.
So it's always been a challenge for that. And it's certainly screaming and yelling at the referees and disrupting the ring and all that stuff is not acceptable, and it's not safe, as others have said. So no, it's something that you know, arbitrators should be able to fix, you know, and going to the judges before the next match happens, if one of your people are going into it, and doing just like Sensei Smith said, and talking to them and having somebody shifted out of that ring because there's a conflict of interest or poor judging or various other things to make it fair is the thing to do. But it's always a challenge.
Yes, sir.
Your
vision and your opinion is very appreciated because, you know, you've been around a long time and you've been, you know, you've been around a lot of people. And, you know, one thing about switching judges, I found out that, because I did that a few times, they would all sometimes at another tournament, they would hold it like a grudge. I mean, they would. I know they would because they were removed. And I remember at the grand opening, and Mike Stone and Skipper Mullins and Fred Wren and a couple other people were in the room with me, and I asked Mike directly. I said, Mike, how do you feel about judging? And he goes, well, Gary, out of five judges, one judge is just looking at girls. One judge is there because he's a cousin of the guy that's competing. The third judge is probably someone who's going, look at me, I'm a judge now, I'm a judge. Maybe the fourth guy knows what he's doing, and you hope that the center referee does know what he's doing. So Mike said, look, Gary, when you walk into the ring, you need to own it. You need to make sure that everyone there, spectators, especially the judges, know that you're the guy that you're going to have to beat to win this championship. And I took that in because I realized that Mike was the first superstar of our sport, and his opinion was important too. But thank you. Thank you so much, Professor. It means so much. And moving right along, I've got two co-hosts I introduced already, and I want their opinion. So, Dean, are you there, buddy? Dean, are you working out?
Yes. Yes, I was. Yes, I'm here.
How do you feel, Dean? Because you know, you're a multi-time NASCAR world champion, but how do you feel about the coaching or watching coaches badgering other people or screaming or whatever? How do you feel about it, Dean?
Well, you know, I really, this would have been a great topic for the 3 minutes at the Wolverine, but, you know, I really have a problem with it because not only, you know, being a NASCAR world champion, but an NBL world champion and having students that are champions in both, you know, I've seen the bias and things that happen. And sometimes these bigger teams, because they're bigger teams, they start yelling, badgering the center judge and influencing the judges because their player's not as good, but the center judges don't want to upset the teams because they've got such a big crowd with them. So
right,
they influence those judges. And if you don't have a strong judge, and you've seen this already, we won't mention the event, but when it happened, but, you know, judges can be influenced. And if they're not a strong judge, then and cannot deal with that, then they need to remove themselves. So one, the center judge needs to make sure that they have a strong understanding of the rules and they know the rules very well. I learned that very quickly in the NBL when it comes to this very situation. I studied Boyce Liddell's rule book to where I knew every single rule in there and could quote it right off the top of my head, and had that way, anytime any of this stuff come up, I could say, okay, arbitrate it. Let's go to the rule book. Because
and that's one
that's
of the
what
reasons.
That rule
D,
book is
D,
for.
D,
yeah.
D, that's one of the
yeah.
reasons why Boyce Liddell was always pissed off at you too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you were
exactly
smart.
Because you know what? And the bad thing is all I wanted people to do was follow the rules that he made, that he wrote. But he would be upset with me because I would be interfering with his hand-picked people. See, that's what the problem would be.
Well, thank you, Dean, for your opinion on that. That means a lot. My other co-host, you know, he's got an opinion too, and he's from Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm talking about Master and you guys know I don't use that word a lot, but Master A.J. Perry from Taekwondo. A.J., are you there, bud?
How are you? How are you?
I'm great, buddy. So how do you feel about the word coaching, referee, black belt? Give me a reason. Because we talked about earlier today, and I appreciate your opinion, but I want you to explain how you feel about it.
You know, I'm not a fan of coaching, number one. You know, if you're not training your students properly, you know, there's something wrong. You know, when they're out there, you let them do what they got to do, and you coach them afterward. And a lot of open karate tournaments, they have people screaming like idiots on the sidelines, you know, parents on the floors. You go to AAU, they don't allow that. The only person that's on the floor, either the judges, the center referee, the competitors, they do allow coaching. But the coaches have to wear a special shirt, and they sit in a special chair alongside the ring in order to coach. Open karate tournaments have an advance to that.
Yeah.
And I'm not even in favor of it in AAU, to be honest with you. You know, you teach a competitor how to compete, he'll go out there and do his thing. But, you know, the time to coach
and teach them
is in the classroom.
I believe it's a two-sided sword, and I'm going to tell you a really short story. I went to a big event in Texas, and I had someone with me that, well, I'll be blunt, he had a lot of money, and I was going to get him to literally give me money to give the 5 tournaments in the circuit. So I took him to the tournament, and he was sitting with me, and out of the audience came down and ran into the ring and slapped his kid, and it was really incredible. And, you know, he looked at me afterwards. He said, "Gary, I'll help you support you with the museum, but I'll never, never invest in a karate tournament with my money after I've seen what happened with that." Because the center referee and even the judges couldn't control that outraged parent. And it really woke up me because, you know, literally I wanted to give, you know, like walk up to one of these promoters and say, "Look, here's $20,000. I want you to run your tournament." And I'm going to do that for 5 tournaments out of the circuit. But this man, who wasn't a black belt, just a businessman, saw the outrageousness of the uncontrollable thing that happened at a tournament because of coaching and because of what happened. But, you know, I agree with you, AJ. I think it's a two-sided sword. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, that's called the 6. These are 6 incredible martial artists that I put together around the country to give their opinions on various topics that we talk about. Now, another segment that I do that I'm so excited about because we've been doing it for almost a year now, we've introduced virtual reality to the martial arts and to the community through a hologram that attacks you. And they've allowed me to create the History General portals where I'll be able to put all the history of the History General that I've accumulated in 30 years. But I'll let him talk about it. Here's one of the inventors that created it, and we've introduced it in South Carolina, California a couple times, Texas a couple times, and he'll be there in October with the Oculus Quest 2, so you can actually try it on and see, and he'll tell you about it. Reggie, are you there, buddy?
Yes, sir. How you doing? Yes.
I'm excited. I'm excited. I got some really great news that's coming up in October for Roy Kirby's event. Besides you being there, I just got a call tonight that the great Toki Hill, who is instrumental to bringing karate to the Olympics, and 2 gold medalists, Arlene Lemus and Herb Perez, is coming in October. So I got him excited about trying to put on the Oscar Quest 2. But you tell my listeners, what is the Oscar Quest 2 and SetVR.app, please?
Yes. We at SetVR continue to be super excited about SetVR, self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality, as a platform whereby you can continue to practice your skills in self-defense anytime, anywhere, when you want. The program is portable and compact, and you can take it anywhere you travel. And even during a pandemic, you continue to practice your skills in self-defense while practicing social distancing. With the Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram can confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of set VR is to have you to be able to neutralize an attack or threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. You'll be able to practice improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, or circular movements to avoid and to place you in an opportunity position of an advantage through neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, and accuracy as you develop muscle memory and the goal of developing a reflex response to a threat or stimulus to neutralize without hesitation as you would with a knee jerk or if you place your hand on a hot stove. This is a platform where you can continue to practice your skills and your forms and your katas that you were taught in your schools for an application against a threat or a stimulus that is a random attack anytime, anywhere, when you want. Our program, we've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation, exercises, and we'll also present you with your own personal yoga instructor. We will continue to update SetVR in the future to help you to practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. So please continue to visit us at our website at setvr.app. That's SETVR.app. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee at the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform of his vision of the history portal for which SetVR has introduced Professor Gary Lee as the Wisdom Warrior as the history portal demo. But before meeting the Wisdom Warrior, one must neutralize the hologram attacker at the gate of the history portal. With that being said, Professor Gary, some few words about your vision of the history portal.
Well, the dream has come true. To be able to teach not only just America about sport karate, but be able to teach the world. And with the portal, you'll be able to walk into that portal and from point A to point B, all the history of that person, what they've done to accumulate the attitude to be a history general. And we're going to be able to do that. We're going to start with a core group, and then that core group will go to once a month, we'll add a new history general. But, you know, SetVR can be seen as a demo by going to Google and just type in SETVR.app, and it will show you on a flat screen platform what SetVR is. But what's neat about the headset, one, it's affordable now for anybody, because in the beginning they were very expensive and you had to have a high-end PC. But now with the Oculus Quest 2, it's very affordable. But what's cool about it is, guys, you're inside the program. You're inside the computer. You're not just looking at it. You're actually a three-dimensional figure inside the platform. Now, with that said, one of my co-hosts, AJ Perry, was he's kind of an old guy. But we got to put one
on. Hey.
But we've got to put one on South Carolina, and he changed his whole view. But I'll let him explain what he feels about SetVR. AJ, tell my listeners.
You know, I was watching some of the younger students, interact with it. And not only just having a great time and having fun, but, you know, kids nowadays, they play video games all the time. And it's like, they're not really, with a video game, you know, they're working their thumbs and but with the SetVR, they're working their whole body. They're kicking, they're punching,
right.
They're interacting, they're having fun. And it's not only, you know, good for kids, but it's a great tool to build your skills. So not only for kids, but adults too.
Well,
I had a blast when I did it.
It is a lot of fun. And, you know, but it's four things, guys. It's fun. It's a heck of a workout. It's progressive. And it's educational with the new History Journal portal. Well, Reggie, thank you so much. It means so much to be able to put you on the show every week and talk about that. So I hope you have a great day. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, he's not called a doctor because of the title. He is a real doctor in a medical or in a hospital. And God bless you what you've done for all of us through this pandemic, Reggie. I appreciate it so much, bud. I really do.
Thank you, sir.
Well, one of my last segments I do is a lot of fun. And it's the Alias of Dean Piles, and he's built up a reputation being called the Wolverine. Now, you know, he's got a reputation to say what he means what he says, and he can back it up. So every week I take the lease off of him. I literally take the lease off of him. I let him speak his opinion. And tonight's question for the Wolverine. Wolverine, are you there? Wake up, Wolverine.
I'm here.
Okay.
Hey, you know, right quick, this is Marines month, you know, because February belongs to the Marine Corps because we do our MOSs in 03s. So, you know, if you have an MOS, then you'll know what that is, and you'll know your special day coming up this month.
Well, here, Rob.
Oh,
we're fine.
And
more
thing.
Listen, Wolverine.
AJ,
Wolverine.
Wait, I want to tell AJ he was talking about a special chair. I seen today a special chair in the Coward movie trailer that had A.J. Perry's name on it.
Cool. Thank you.
I want it in the museum when you get done with it. I want it in the museum signed and to have both your guys' chairs there because I'm so proud of that. But listen, Wolverine, I'm taking the lease off. How does a Wolverine deal with a judge screaming at him?
Well, look, we all know that you know, I've got an aggressive A-type personality. If a judge is coming screaming at me, for one, I'm not being ugly, but he better have his A-game on, and he better be knowing what he's talking about, and he also better make sure that he don't step within 3 foot of me, because if he's yelling, I already take that as a sign of aggression, and being he's a referee, that means he should have some training of self-defense or, you know, some ability to attack and inflict damage on someone. So he gets too close. I'm going to assume that that's why he's trying to close the distance, and I'm going to, you know, make sure his screaming stops. Because
right.
That's one, that's disrespectful. Two, you know, you saw how I dealt with Boyce Liddell. I did not have to scream. People would say, I want Wolverine kicked out because, you know, he's doing this or he's doing that. And then, you know, like Magic Johnson and even Daryl Stewart being the arbitrators will have to say he's being nothing but a gentleman. He's just stating the rules. I trained the military, so I have a voice that if I called you up and sang happy birthday to you, when I hung up, you would be like, I don't know if Wolverine was mad about singing me happy birthday or what. But, you know, it was just, that would be the way they took it, and they would be mad because they would be going by the rules. One instance, I had a ref that was, they would always be messing with my players, so I watched and turned the rules on them, and I saw a certain team doing a kata called Fuku Aikibo. And anybody that knows that knows that that is a or kata. And in the NBL rule book, it says that the whatever kata you call, you have to demonstrate that kata with that particular weapon. I said, all this guy's players are doing. Fuku Aikibo, he was doing the kata with a bow staff, not an oar, but it's an oar
right.
kata. The kata
right.
is for an oar. So their whole team was doing katas with an oar, so I made them go around and disqualify every single one of their players because that's the rule. You know, they wanted to count tumbling passes, and I would say, look, you're allowed 7 tumbling passes. Well, yeah, but your student did a 540 and a flash kick. Yes, both of those have kick attached to the end of them, which doesn't make them tumbling moves. It makes them kick because
well,
it says
like
kick at the end of
them. Wolverine, you made a lot of friends that day, but, you know, something I'll share with you, buddy. It was 1994 in Hollywood, the Super Grants, and Boyce changed the rule. Only 4 key eyes in jab kata. Well, you guys remember, I grunt a lot. And they disqualified me because they said I key eyed 20 times. But I dealt with the rule, and, well, that's another story. But the bottom line is I accepted the rule after I realized that it was a rule. And, you know, Wolverine, I appreciate you so much. And, you know, as I said, I'm looking forward to The Coward, your movie you're doing, and all the things you're doing. And, you know, you're a blessing, even though I know that you're an animal. So God bless you, Wolverine. You take care, buddy. God bless
you. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, ladies and gentlemen, those are our 3 segments, the 6th, people, the incredible Dr. Reggie Lee and the Wolverine. But, you know, I want to share this with you. Tonight's topic has been kind of personal because, you know, I fought for 45 years. And, you know, the only reason, because I wasn't that good, but I was very coachable. I would do exactly what my black belt coaches would tell me to do. And, you know, so I think it was like a two-edged sword. I agree with what AJ said, but also I agree with the other people, too. And their opinions are so important to me. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited that we get to be in your homes every Tuesday night. But I want to bring back my special guest. Buddy, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Well, we got a Baron Barnberger show, but I want to end it by hitting you with a couple names, and you can talk about it for 2 minutes, and then I'm going to try to hit with you at least two or three names. The first one I want to hit with is the incredible Battle of Atlanta creator, Mr. Joe Cordy. How do you feel about Joe?
Wow, the mild-mannered fighting machine back in the day. Joe Cordy, such a wonderful guy. He and I became friends years ago. And, speaking of someone that's really done something for the martial arts industry and keeping things alive, he's a martial arts giant, in my opinion. Super nice guy, good friend, and has done a world of good for the martial arts.
Well, one more real quick. How about, we used to call him Balls, but he went to the ATA and he trains that industry. But we're talking about Bill Clark. You know, one of the great cross fighters. Yeah.
Oh my! Yes. Bill is a kind of a mentor. I look at him as a mentor. I've known him for many, many years, and he really was a great fighter back in the day. And he became a fighter. Then he refereed a lot of full contact bouts. He's done a really good job at developing a organization down in Jacksonville, Florida, and he is really one of the top operators in the country. Very, very smart guy. Has helped a lot of young people along the way to be successful, and just a top notch martial artist.
Well, what about my producer, Jesse Bowen? How do you feel about him?
What a creator, Jesse Bowen. Jesse Bowen is a sharp man. He kind of along the lines of what you've created with the museum, he's creating these opportunities to tell people's story through the books and, you know, the biography books and all the opportunities that he's opened the doors for martial artists to keep their legacies going through the books and things like that. So, yeah, great guy. And doing a wonderful job for the industry and has been for many years.
Well, your sidekick and your best friend, one of the prettiest ladies I know, your lovely wife. Tell me about Pam.
Pam, my lovely wife, yeah, she's a great person. And we've been married a long time. And you know, for a long time, she taught kickboxing and women's self-defense. And
yes.
Just loved it. She's a... of course, by my side all the time, and she is the I call her the CrossFit queen. She is in CrossFit every day. She does not miss a day. Keep yourself in top shape, and just a wonderful sidekick. I wouldn't know where I'd be without her.
Well, you know, I'm excited about the fact that, like this year in October with Mr. Roy Kirby's tribute and roast, I get to put together the East Coast and the West Coast and, you know, confirm, like I said earlier, I was excited about having Toki Hill and Arlene Lemans and her press come, but I've got people like Ron Marchini, Joe Cordy, Jeff Smith, Eric Lee, Alex Dean, Ed Parker Jr., all committed to come. And some other surprises that's going to blow everybody away October 7th and 8th at the Houston Living Legends roast of Mr. Gollybum, Roy Kirby. You know, we were going to do something really special, buddy. We got Sylvester Stallone and Terry Funk, my buddy from the WWE, and John Paul Genorio, the owner of the John Paul Mitchell National Karate Team, getting their honorary black belts from the museum. And we got some surprises I'm not even going to tell you. So, you know, wow. I'll probably be bugging you in a couple of days trying to get you to come because I want you to experience. Because you've experienced, you know, my events before, but this one's going to be a big one, buddy, I promise you. But, you know, buddy, I want to say thank you for what you've done for the museum, what you've done for me personally. And your attitude has always been an inspiration to my attitude to help other people. And I really appreciate you being on the air tonight with me. I really do.
Well, and thank you so much for inviting me. And you know, I want to say to all the guys and ladies that's on here, I am so proud to be a part of this group. This is a wonderful fraternity, so to speak, to be a part of. And I just want everybody to know that I appreciate everyone, and it's a good crowd to be a part of.
Well, you know, the neat thing about it is that we're Texas casual. We're not a Hall of Fame. We're not a bunch of egotistic black belts. We're alumni. And that's what the Sport Karate Museum has put together, an alumni of incredible people like you, Buddy Hudson. And I want to say, like I say every week, and I mean it from the heart, mahalo and aloha to everybody. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.